The scripture reading is 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, members of over 9,000 branch churches in Korea and all over the world, local sanctuary members, those who are attending the service on the internet all over the world, GCN and Manmin TV viewing audiences. 2011. Let us give all thanks and glory to God the Father, who has blessed us to have this 2011 Women's Mission Devotional Service. I also give thanks to all the devotees who have prepared for this service with all your hearts, minds, and souls. Dear devotees, since its opening, you Women's Mission members have been playing a very important role in the church. You have been taking care of the souls and volunteering for church events. You have been faithful, giving all your time, money, and lives with all your hearts, minds, and souls. Above all, you have been running your race of faith, longing for Spirit. But the fact is, though many of you say you long for Spirit, the speed of going into Spirit is different from person to person. Some people go into Spirit quickly, while others grow up to some extent, but get stuck at the threshold of Spirit and stay in the same place. They pray and try hard to cultivate goodness, but they are not acknowledged by God to have goodness. They listened to many messages, so they know about goodness very well, and they mistakenly think that they have cultivated goodness. Even though they have feelings that are not good, they cover it quickly and cheat themselves, thinking, "I don't have such heart." You must not just hear the Word of God and store it as knowledge. You have to cultivate it in heart and practice it. To the extent that you go into Spirit and goodness, the 66 books of the Bible will be stored in your heart. You cannot go into Spirit without knowing the Word. You have listened to so many messages, and if they are stored in spiritual as spiritual bread in your heart, then it is Spirit. So you must know the Word. Without knowing, you cannot do anything. Without knowing, you cannot be a college professor. You have to know it to go into Spirit. And even though you heard a lot of messages, unless you digest it, unless you cultivate it as Spirit, you cannot have a spiritual heart. If you just store it as knowledge, it is useless. You have to put it in your heart, cultivate it in your heart. After some time, you'll forget about it, and you'll forget it, and you cannot receive the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So you have to cultivate it in heart and practice it. Just as God has no darkness in Him at all, you must not accept any kind of darkness in you either. You have to walk in the perfect light. In this message, through the three questions I will give you, I'd like you to check as to what extent you have cultivated goodness in you, to what extent you are walking in the light, and how much you resemble God. Dear devotees, the first aspect you have to check to cultivate God's goodness is you have to see whether you are more accustomed to giving rather than receiving. Acts 20:35, letter half says, "Remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that He Himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" In the Bible, you find the word blessing very often. And so you have to make it yours. You have to make the blessing yours. And if you act according to it, if you practice it, you will receive blessings. Which fool would not do it to receive blessing? It is blessing. Keep the whole Sabbath. Keep the Lord's Day holy. It is blessing. And to meditate on the Word of God, as in Psalm 1:1, in Psalm 1, so to receive blessings, you have to have these words cultivated in your heart. Acts 20:35, letter half says, remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that He Himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give than to receive. So from today, I hope you will love to give. Sometimes some people, they tell me, oh, this person gave me this, this that person gave. And they give me this, they give me that. I hear that kind of thing often, but I only hear much less frequently I hear that they give. And I think that person will be giving more from now. You know this verse very well, but in actual life, there are many more people who receive all the time, but do not give. Here, giving and receiving include not just money, but all the actions of truth, like giving time and effort. It is that you don't practice the truth, but you expect others to serve you and yield to you according to the truth. For example, when I help others, I can see the attitudes of those who receive my help are all different. When they receive help, some people show me their words and deeds of thankfulness without changing. Our church is helping more than 800 households. And even though we do a lot of charitable work, just a couple of, several people come and thank me. Just several. Thank you for this. Thank you for the help provided. I don't want to hear the thanks from, I don't want to receive thanks from the people, but it's not something so difficult. But they don't even say, most people, they don't even say thanks. And their leaders who are receiving blessings now, when they were receiving the charitable works, they didn't say anything. They didn't say thank you or anything. But from one point, they begin to receive blessings. And they tell me, many years ago, I was receiving the charitable help from the church, and now I'm receiving blessings. Oh, only then I know that they were in a financial difficulty, but now they are receiving blessings. I'm very happy to see them receive blessings. When they practice the word, when they live by the word, they receive blessings, and they now can help others. So there are people who show their thankfulness without changing, with a desire to pay back the grace. They lead a faithful Christian life, and they also begin to help others. Those who are receiving my help, and they say, how can I pay back this grace? And if they are really faithful, and if they are church workers, I sometimes, because of the urging of the Holy Spirit, I provide with them some great help. And they ask me, how can I pay back this grace? And my answer is all the same all the time. Love God, love the Lord, and go into spirit. Cast off all forms of evil and go into spirit and whole spirit. That is to pay back the grace. That is all I wish, all I want. Just go into spirit and whole spirit. Then I'll be so thankful, happy. And that is my answer. Some others think they are thankful that they received help, but they don't help others who are in need. They just think they are not in a situation to help others. You know, helping others, you don't help just because you have affluence, abundance. Even when you don't have, you can help others. Giving a little bit of out of abundance is not giving a lot. Giving all you have, even though the amount is small, even though you don't have anything to eat tomorrow, if you give all you have today, that is when our Lord Jesus commanded the faith of that widow, that woman. Even though you don't have much, you save on yourself and you help others. That is to help others. And if you have a lot, you will help a lot. So to help others a lot, you have to receive a lot of blessings. So you can help many people. They just think they are not in a situation to help others. And we have a parable in the Bible. Still others even think as follows. It's a big church, so it is rather natural that it has to help many people in need. Or they think, senior pastor said, he would help the needy, so there wouldn't be anyone in need. So he has to keep his promise. Thinking like this, they take it all for granted. Yes, I'm keeping my promise. I try my best. I do my best to help the needy. So we are helping more than 800 households. It was initially 400 households, and the number increased to 800. But you shouldn't receive help unconditionally. If you don't live by the word, we don't have to help. That is why you don't receive blessings. So we cannot stop you from receiving blessings by helping you. We have to let them practice the word of God. Live by the word of God first so they can receive blessings. So we shouldn't just help those who are not living by the word of God. But the households that are receiving help from the church, they are in such a situation. And so when we help them, we try to provide them with the substantial help. And I always tell you, teach you the ways to receive blessings. What is the use of helping them all the time? We have to teach them how to receive blessings. If they obey the word, they will certainly receive blessings. God's word is accurate and precise, and it is absolute truth. And you are the witnesses. When you were having a hard time, difficult times financially, you didn't even have time, money for transportation. And even those who are suffering so much, but when you live by the word of God, you receive blessings. That is your testimony in your life. Even though you've been a Christian for a long time, if you violate the word, from that moment, God cannot help you. Many of you, I believe, have realized it. Even though you work hard, if you have a wall of sin against God, until you break down that wall, you cannot receive any help from God. So you must not make any wall of sin against God for this reason. They know it is a work of goodness to help others, but they want others to do the good works. They don't want to do it themselves. Or when they get help, some people serve the church faithfully with their thanks for the moment, but soon change their attitude. If there is any conflict with some people in the church, they forget about their desire to pay back the grace. They even hold grudges against me. They don't have anything to do with me. I just help them, and some of them hold grudges against me. And they turn their backs on me, and sometimes some people, they stab me on my back, even though I help them. Very recently, they confessed with tears, saying, "Thank you for the word of life. Thank you for healing me with the power of God. On top of that, you provide me with financial help. I'm so thankful." But when something is not beneficial for them, they forget about the grace quickly. And many people, they were saved, healed of incurable, terminal diseases. Even now, you don't know all the cases, but many people are still being healed of incurable diseases because they committed sins leading to death. They have terminal, incurable diseases, heart, lungs, or cancers, other diseases. May not be seen. And the workers in the church, if the lung diseases is revealed, or cancers is revealed, it's not edifying in the mission groups and so on. So they receive my prayer and they are healed. So they are healed quickly. The problem is, they cannot give glory to God. They cannot give their testimonies. They cannot reveal that they committed sins and they got this disease and they were healed by prayer. Because they are the leaders in the church. I also feel the same way. Because it did not edify the church members. So if they are healed, they live for the kingdom of God, but there are also others who fall into sins in less than a year, and that's when I feel disappointed. I lose my strength because I feel the betrayal. They crucify the Lord all over again. They betray God. And when I see those things, I lose my strength and energy. I cannot beat them up or... It's their own benefit. It's the fleshly desires. To follow those things, they forget the grace. They lose their faith. They lose their grace and they betray God. And it means men, human beings, they are so foolish. Still, they think they have legitimate reason and they don't realize they are evil. It's not just about financial matters, but also about your service where you have to expend your time and effort. For example, where there is a meeting, a certain person comes early and prepares the place so that the meeting goes well. Whether others see her or not, she tries hard. She always looks for the things to do and the ways to serve others. If she comes a little later than others and thus cannot serve others, she feels very sorry. She keeps in mind such an occasion will not happen again. She makes sure she serves others next time. On the contrary, another person is late to the meetings habitually. Even if she is not late, she comes only after everything is set up and everyone has gathered. She thinks, it must not have been ready by this time anyway. Even if I go on time, not everybody will be there yet. I don't have to go so early and then wait. When I was in the theological college, or also right after the opening of the church, pastors are mostly like that. When they have any worship services at 11 o'clock, suppose 11 o'clock, then the pastors of the denomination, they will come. And these people, they have to be there. They have to be present at least 10 minutes prior to 11. But it's very rare to find anybody coming by 11. They come at 11:30 or 11:40 or even 11:50, even at noon, even at 12. And suppose I ask them, you know, if I have a close enough relationship to ask them, then they say, oh, what is the use of going there early? You know, the service will start at 11:30 or anyway. So what is the point of going there early? So people have this kind of a mindset. So the things are postponed that way. Even if others are doing it, it is a promise with God. So because it is, it should start at 11. You have to come before 11. Then if everybody has that kind of mindset, it will not be postponed. But every individual has that kind of mindset. It happens all the time. So everybody comes late. So seeing that kind of thing in the theological college, I was kind of disappointed. And I thought, oh, this is whether believers or not believers, it's the same. And I saw the all the pastors in the college, in the theological college. But thankfully, even though all others are doing, acting like that, I've never violated any service time in the college or after graduation or after I became ordained a pastor. I have never violated worship service time. You know, even though you're a freshman in the theological college, you know that the people come late and the things start late. But I'm not saying this to boast of myself. It's how I've been doing. I've never been late to any other meeting, any meeting or any worship service. That is the right. Even though others are doing it, I shouldn't follow. If they're going to hell, I shouldn't follow them to hell. I have to do the right thing. So it's the same today. In any worship service or meeting, I'm never late. Maybe about in the 90s, I was late to a worship service maybe for 1 minute in the Friday All Night service. Not out of my will, but every time the sick people, they stopped me and to pray, to receive my prayer. So because of that, I was late about 1 minute to a Friday All Night service and still I gave fasting. I offered fasting. And thankfully, people helped me, so I wouldn't be late to the worship service. Whether it is in a home worship service or in a workplace, I always come way before the appointed time. So all the workers around me, they follow my example. They're present earlier. And also in Mammon Church, our assembly, all the pastors, I believe they keep their appointment time. Suppose they have an anniversary service, they will keep all the timing. It means it is like a habit for her that others come first and serve her and she receives it. If you cannot serve others in these little things of your everyday life, How can you say you are longing for spiritual goodness? Women's mission members, for example, I'm not talking about going into spirit and Holy Spirit, but when you listen to this message, you realize, oh, this is what I lack. This is something I have to correct, something I have to change. I'm not living by the word in this aspect. And if you realize these things, you have to make a note or remember it clearly or listen to it again. So you have to record it, write it down or something. And you have to change these things one by one so you can be holy and you can be perfect. And you can resemble God and the Lord and you'll be able to please God. So you have peace with God and you can have peace with yourself and you can have peace with everybody else. And each of those acts, each of those things will make you holy. Oh, she is holy. And who does God say is holy? If you have good words, godly words and facial expressions, but she comes to late. She comes to the worship service late. And how can we say she is holy? And she is following the bad examples of other people, and how can we say she is holy? She has to follow the good examples. And there are so many people like that. If there is a meeting, you just go to the meeting late. And those who know that the meeting will be held late, they will just go late. Once I talked about the officiating wedding, those politicians, they are always busy, and they just come, and just they write down their name and they give their money and they just take off. So because I know it, once we had a church members' wedding in Myeongdong Cathedral. I visited that place, and many high politicians were there, the ministers and congressmen and those people, and they wouldn't even go in. Even after the wedding began, they would just stand outside, and they would just write their names and just give their money, and they wouldn't even go in to the wedding. And they all know each other. So they just have conversations with one another. So right from the beginning, I just went in and I wrote down my name, but it was so embarrassing. It had been such a long time that I didn't write my own name in Chinese characters, and I couldn't remember the letter J of the Jerok, and I was so embarrassed. I wrote down, I began with the Chinese character, and I wouldn't be able to write it in Korean alphabet, and then Hangul, and then Chinese character again. I cannot hide those things. Like my wife is the same, Mrs. Lee. She just she doesn't hide anything. She just says everything. She didn't have to say anything, but she explains everything. She doesn't hide anything. And it's the same with me. I don't want to hide anything before the church members. So when I went to the United States, I reported to you. We went to the Vegas, and everything we did, I just explained to you everything. And the broadcaster, they were saying as if I was a gambler or something. And how ridiculous that was. all the members, church members, I gave them pocket money to let them enjoy themselves one night to relax after working hard. And how can that be gambling? And I wouldn't lose. And even if I win, I just distribute, give the money to all the church workers. If you're gonna lose, you don't just don't play from the first place. So in that kind of place, I win and I just give pocket money to the church members, the workers. So there's nothing to be to have a qualms of conscience about. And we just do it for half an hour, about an hour, when we go on a vacation. And I just give the money to the church workers. And it's not taking money from poor people or anything. We just do the whatever is allowed within the boundary of the law. And we never do it with any anything with the God's money. We cannot do that, of course not. Even though it's good work, we cannot do it with the money of God. If you cannot serve others in these little things of your everyday life, how can you say you are longing for spiritual goodness? There is still another case. A person helps others and takes delight in giving presents. She does the things that she doesn't really have to do to serve others. Even though she acts this way, she is not recognized by God to be good. It's because she wants something in return. Even though she doesn't want monetary reward, she wants to receive thanks from others for her service, and she wants to be acknowledged by others as much as she serves others. If she doesn't get it, she feels uncomfortable. She might even become resentful or feel hurt. I mentioned somebody, she tells me she receives this thing, that thing, many things, and she talks about giving to others only, she seldom mentions giving to others. I know her characters. If there is anybody, she wants to give. She wants to give to others. If there is anybody in need, she will even give her own clothes. So I'm not talking about that person alone. She is the one who wants to give even her own clothes. But there are many others who didn't do that. So, and I'm talking about all those people. And so she shouldn't be disappointed. I was so thankful, and I told the senior pastor, because she is so thankful that she received many things, but I know she wants to give. She likes giving so much. I'm not just talking about her alone. I'm talking about everyone, actually. So she shouldn't be thinking that it is me. If you like giving, then you don't have to take it as your own. I don't know where she is sitting, but she has such a good heart. So when she receives many things, she just tells me that she received this. And sometimes she mentions giving to others. And I know her heart. She wants to give to other people. She could even judge others, thinking, I gave them this good thing. I considered their situations and served them this way, and they should be thankful. They don't even say thank you. They are very arrogant and rude. When the next time comes, she doesn't serve such people. And yet she thinks she is serving others and acting in goodness. The spiritual heart is to give what others want and give comfort to others. If you make others uncomfortable, it is not right. You do not care about what others want, but you just do what you want to do for them, and yet you want to receive the recognition and tribute from them. It is not a spiritual heart. Also, spiritual heart would not say, I have served them once, so I did what I had to do. God is not like that. It's not that He gives you His grace and fullness of Spirit just once and never gives it to you again. He gives us the best thing again and again. It's not just once or twice. Just like this heart of God the Father, I hope you will take delight in giving rather than receiving. In our church too, there are many people who attend other churches. They come and receive healing, but not many people say thanks. They say thanks many years later. Oh, couple of years ago, I was healed of my cancer. And also those who have a social status. And right then, when they were healed right away, they don't say any thanks or anything. They come only later, and when they have a chance, only when they have an occasion to receive my prayer, only then they give their testimony. Also, some people, they give their testimony right away. I was healed of this and that, but I don't really welcome them. I'm not so happy with them. I don't ask them to come to our church because I know their heart. They have to do it willingly. It is a kind of a half coercion. And suppose 2, 3, 4 years later, they come less and less often, and finally they will not be seen. I've seen so many times. If they were not healed by my prayer, they would have been disabled for the rest of their lives. I've seen so many people, politicians, businessmen, athletes, artists. And I've seen that kind of case so many times. They don't pay back any grace, even for a moment. And even though they pay back the grace for a moment, they just think they have done enough. It's very rare to find anybody who really pays back their grace. And those ones, they are the blessed ones. But even from our members, it's rare. If they receive grace once, they don't pay back the grace continually. In my case, I pay back the grace continually, all the time. You cannot just pay it back once or twice. And when I pay back the grace, it's a good heart, and God gives me blessings so I can pay back the grace all the time. So when I didn't even receive prayer from the senior deaconess Hyunshin, and I was just healed in her church at the moment I knelt before God. And until she passed away, I served her. I kept on serving her until the day she passed out. She passed away. Because I was healed by God when I knelt down before God at her church, in her meeting. So I didn't forget that grace, and I paid back her grace until she died. This is the duty of the person who received grace. And if you just pay back once or twice and stop, then it's not really good heart. God looks at the good heart and gives you blessings. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will be able to give again and again without wanting anything in return. Dear devotees, what you have to check to cultivate God's goodness, secondly, is whether you seek your own benefit or you understand others and put yourself in their shoes. Many people pray for things that are good in their prayers. They pray like, Father, if somebody slaps my right cheek, I would give the left cheek without any hard feelings. If they ask for the other garment, I want to give them the cloak with joy. If they force me to go 1 mile, I'd like to go 2 miles. But in reality, they just stick to their own standpoint and seek their own benefits. If actions of another person are not beneficial for them, they cannot understand or accept that person. For example, suppose some workers do some voluntary work for half a day in the church. One of them has some personal affairs, and she returns home 2 hours earlier than others. In this situation, if those who are working with her have good heart, they won't have any uncomfortable feelings, for they think she must have a reason. So you think in goodness all the time. They will just try to work harder and get the work done smoothly. But those who are in flesh will have many thoughts. They think like, she's not the only one who is busy. I'm also busy. This voluntary work was scheduled in advance, so why does she have to leave now? They even judge that person, saying she is selfish and has no conscience. They don't stop at having such thoughts, and they even speak piercing words. Or, some people do some calculations about the situation. I worked 2 more hours because of her absence, so when we have another work next time, I will ask her to do that. If you have this kind of attitude, you are doing a voluntary work, but it'll be difficult for that work to be accepted as spiritual aroma before God. Then what is the reason that you could not cast off such things of the heart, even though you have been praying to cultivate goodness? It's because you don't cultivate the messages on goodness in your heart, but just store it as knowledge. You do not apply the standards of goodness to yourself, but only to other people. So many people, they just apply the standards to others, but not to themselves. They just think they are all good all the time. You think like, the truth tells us to sacrifice ourselves for others, but being a leader, she seeks her own good. God's work must come before personal work, but for her, personal work comes before God's work. Because you are thinking in terms of the word of truth, you mistakenly think you are having thoughts of goodness and righteousness. Furthermore, you think you are better than that person in doing good deeds, because you are sacrificing yourself to do the voluntary work, unlike the other person, although you are busy. But then, what if you are in the kind of situation where you have to leave? Would you feel sorry that you had to leave early? If others feel uncomfortable about you, you feel sorry. No, you'd have your own reasons. You might feel you're hurt, thinking like, I'm already sorry that I have to leave early. And thus you have to show her discomfort to me? I did my best, although I'm so busy. And if she knows the truth, she'd thank me for coming to do the work. She knows the truth, and how can she act like that? If she works a little more, it'll all be her reward, so why can't she just be thankful? You just keep on thinking you're right. If you just think of your own standpoint and your own benefit, you cannot cultivate spiritual goodness. One who is good will think from others' viewpoint in every matter. So when I see the things about the Performing Arts Committee, I always heard them, so I know most of the events that are taking place when they get the lessons and when they practice and so on. And suppose, because they are sitting here, I know. Because they are sitting here in the Daniel prayer, so those who are not seen, I know they're not here. Then I understand. Oh, I don't say, oh, she's not here, she's not praying, or anything like that. I just think from their viewpoint. Oh, today they have this. For example, they have a lesson, or they are late from the college. Or they have to lead the praise, and they have to practice, and or they have this special praise, and they have to prepare. They have to practice. So I always think in a good way, so I don't have any discomfort. And even though there is nothing like that, I might just think, oh, maybe she has something. She's not well or something. So I try to pray for her. So there is nothing uncomfortable about that kind of thing. And suppose I might be worried, so they tell me beforehand. Because of this, I took off early. So if you think in a good way, it's good. And if you think in a bad way, you might have these misunderstandings. You might have discomfort. Then after watching them for several months, I can see that their inner heart is good or not good. And those who are good, those who have good inner heart, I don't have to worry about them. Even though they are not perfect now, they will change finally. But those who are not good in their inner heart, even though they seem to be good right now, it takes a long time for them to change their inner heart into good inner heart. But those who have good inner heart, even though they seem to be evil right now, they will change. So it doesn't take so much time to be changed into goodness. So I can just tell them what they have to do. If they lack prayer, they can tell them to pray more. Or I just give them the points. Then they obey and they change themselves. And in the mission groups, in the Bible, God chose, when you consider the people chosen by God, there are good people and other evil people too. God sometimes chooses evil ones too. Sometimes God chooses evil ones and refines them and uses them. It's because they have good inner heart. They have good inner heart. But because of their environment, they input a lot of evil things. But God sees the inner heart, and God knows that inner heart, that their inner heart is good. So God chooses these people, and refines them. The Apostle Paul, Peter, they have good inner heart, and God refines them and uses them greatly. What is it to be to have good inner heart? Right now he's evil, but and those who go into spirit, if you talk to them and if you see them, you can see whether they have good heart or good inner heart or not to some extent. So if they have good inner heart, even though they think they might be telling lies or they might be doing something evil, they will change themselves quickly. Those who have good inner heart, they don't have cunningness. They don't try to cheat. They don't try to cheat for their own benefit. Those who cheat for their own benefits, they have evil inner heart. So it takes a long time to go into spirit. And it's not beneficial for them. Then they cheat and they tell lies and they betray. And betrayal is such an evil heart. Even after a long time, they will still betray. Because it's beneficial for them right now, they're doing fine. But if it is not beneficial, they will betray. So there are many kinds of inner hearts, cunningness, or betrayal, and changing mind. And if they don't have these things in their inner heart, these things wouldn't come out. And because they have these things come out. But those who are good, even though they have some evil things input from this world, if they just get rid of these evil things, their inner heart is so good. If they are refined, these inner hearts will be like pure gold. And God chooses these people, refines them, and uses them. Like in the case of Abraham, Moses, and Peter, and Apostle Paul, when they changed after receiving God's grace, they went to the place of martyrdom. They never betray, in any case. They don't depart from God. You should try. Even though you're telling a lie and you have many evil hearts, you can change your heart by the grace of God. If you try, you can change your inner heart and break down these evil forms and change them into goodness, then you can do it. If it's not possible, I don't even have to preach. I just tell you, just live as you what you are. I don't have to ask you, I don't have to tell you, teach you to change yourself. It is possible in the Lord. And those who are good-hearted, it is easier for them. They can change quickly. So I'm seeing those who can go to New Jerusalem. If they have good inner heart, the worst thing is cunningness and cheating and betrayal. They're so evil, and it'll come again and again. And those who don't have, even though they seem to be evil right now, those who don't have these things, if they have good inner heart, I choose them, I ask them, I give advice to them, so they can go into spirit and whole spirit and go into New Jerusalem, whether men or women. I'm trying to see, select those people. Some people, those who have good heart, if they receive any grace, they will pay back their grace before God and before the church. And there are many people and I'm seeking these people so I can make them faithful, capable workers. You shouldn't just ask me to harbor you, but I can see you, whether to harbor you or not. She falls into our flesh and she has lung disease. She repents and receives my prayer. And she is healed. And right away, her heart has to think of the love of God, and she has to love the shepherd, and she runs the race of faith. But after 1, 2, or 3 years later, the testimony comes in. She made up her mind, and she wants to live for God and for the church. And I didn't know, but for many years she did her best in her faith. So later, God lets me know too. So I keep an eye on her, and she is so faithful before God, whether she's seen or not. She is faithful, and she becomes a worker and a leader. And there are people who pay back even little grace. And there are people who receive just a little bit of help, financial help, and they live a good life, and they receive blessing, and they pay back the grace continuously. So in our church, we have such people quite a lot. They were having a financial difficulty. They didn't even have money for transportation, and they received help from the church. There are quite a few people, and they walk the right way. They practice the word of God, so they receive blessings. They have big vessels. They don't cheat others. They don't change their mind. And once it is right, if something is right, they can follow it. So I harbor them and I pray for them so they can receive blessings. So these people receive blessings and their tithes increase. They give more than $10,000 tithe, monthly tithe. And they give a lot to the church, and these are the ones who help me too. So there are people, some scores of people who are becoming strength to me, so I can do the missionary works and do the charitable works. They don't forget the grace. They always consider God and the shepherd first. Sometimes they don't even buy their own houses. They don't buy the clothes for their wife. They don't have a good car. So I tell them to buy a house, buy a car for them, buy some clothes for their wives too. But they don't obey those things so well. But anyway, they consider God's work the first. So because they pay back the grace, they know the grace without changing. So when I harbor them and pray for them, they receive blessings. So before, they used to give just a couple of $100 or some tithe, but now they give like some tens of thousands of dollars monthly tithe. Don't you want to be like that too? You can change your heart. Cast off cunningness. Just have truthfulness. Sincere heart. And love God first and love the church first. And if you have this kind of heart, and if you receive my prayer just once a month, after a couple of years, many things will have been changed. She doesn't choose the way that is easier and better for her, but what is more comfortable to others. They can give glory to God more. I urge you to seek the benefit of others in every matter and think from others' viewpoint. Dear devotees, in order to cultivate God's goodness, thirdly, you have to check how well you are serving others in the hierarchy. This can also be about arrogance. For example, a person does not serve her superiors in the hierarchy with her heart. She doesn't obey within the order very well. But if those under her do not serve her properly, she feels very uncomfortable, thinking they are not keeping the order. Suppose you are the assistant leader of a mission group. If you have arrogance in you, you will feel uncomfortable when other workers lower in the hierarchy do not serve you. You might think like when the administrator makes reports to the leader, why does she not make any report to me? I've been doing this particular work, but why is it given to another person this year without even asking my opinion? When the workers have disregard for the assistant leader like this, why does the leader just keep quiet about it? Thinking like this, you have discomfort over every little thing. It means you are creating discomfort to yourself. If you're a spirit, you don't care about anything. You just obey. You might be judging others. So you didn't think about those things. So thinking like this, you create all your own discomfort. If you have goodness, nothing is right. You just think, oh, it can be like that. You know, they can do that. And even serve those who are higher in the order of the hierarchy. In some cases, they ignore, they look down on the their leaders, the higher in the hierarchy. They don't want to serve them at all. And yet the lower, if they have good heart, if they have heart of the Lord, they have to serve. Especially because it's the work of God. You have to make the leader higher in the hierarchy be praised by others. And if you talk about your leader with others, then it's such an evil thing. You have to cover their fault, cover the fault of your leaders. This is good heart, heart of the Lord. And if you reveal the faults, and if you pass judgment and condemnation, which are not even true, then it's a great sin, wall of sin then. Then after, even after a long time, they can't even destroy these walls of sins because they don't even realize it. They have created a wall and they don't realize it, so they can't break down these walls because, so they cannot go into spirit. That is why you have to be always careful about the words of your mouth. If they give you some work that you don't really agree on, you have discomfort having many kinds of thoughts. You don't really serve your superiors, but if your subordinates in the order do not serve you, you feel uncomfortable saying that they're breaking the order. Of course, every organization has its hierarchy, and everyone has to do her job according to the order. Also, if the subordinates break the order, it is not spiritual goodness to unconditionally understand and accept them. Sometimes you have to understand and accept them, while at other times you have to correct them with gentleness to maintain the order. The standard to discern between whether you are insisting the order with your arrogance or you are trying to follow the order in spiritual goodness is, after all, your own heart. You can choose the way with which God is delighted only when you do not have any pride to be served and recognized or desire to become the leader by suppressing others. You will be able to discern with a peaceful mind whether you have to establish the order with the truth or you have to understand and accept your subordinates, even though they have shortcomings in a particular situation. On the other hand, when you serve your superiors in the order, you can also discern wisely as to whether you have to obey the instructions of the leader as it is spoken, or whether you should gather the opinions of the other people and make a suggestion to your leader. Let me conclude the message. Dear devotees and other members, in Matthew chapter 20 is the parable of the landowner of the vineyard and the laborers. The landowner of the vineyard went out early in the morning to hire the laborers. He went out around noon, and there were others standing idle in the marketplace. They didn't get a job for the day, and they had to worry about making ends meet. The landowner got them to go to work. He also went out at 3 and also 5, and he let those who were standing idle work in his vineyard. Soon the evening came, and the laborers who came at 5 first began to receive their wages. They worked only for 1 hour, but the landowner gave them a day's wage, 1 denarius. You came at 10 and you worked all day. And when you see those who came at 5, they received the full day's wage. And those who came at 3, they also received full day's wage. So you came at 10. So you might think, maybe I can receive more than the promised wage. Because those who are late, they also receive the full day's wage. And I worked from 10 o'clock formally in the morning, so I can receive more. But this landowner doesn't do according to your own ideas. He just gives you the same wage, just a full day's wage. You worked many more hours than others. So what do you have to feel? How is your heart? Is it shaken or not? Is it shaken towards goodness or bad way? If it is shaken towards evil, you shouldn't just go back home after listening to this message. In the Daniel prayer meeting, you have to pray about these things. Pray to God, oh God, I have this kind of evil heart. I have this evil heart. The landowner, he is a good person. He gave you according to his promise. He didn't give less. He gave you full day's wage. And those who came later, he gave them the full day's wage too. But so it means he's a good person. He didn't say, oh, you came late, so just receive this much. He didn't deduct from the full day's wage. He just gave them full day's wage. So you have to think, oh, this owner is such a good person. But on the contrary, reversely, you have hard feelings against him. Oh, I worked all day and he gives me the same wage as those who came late. And if you have this kind of feeling, you have to repent of it. So every time you have to realize these things and cast them off, then it's not so hard to go into spirit. It's just that you don't repent. You have this kind of evil heart. The owner is a good person and you have evil heart. You're passing judgment on that good landowner. Those who came earlier than this thought they were going to receive more, but the landowner gave them all one denarius. If you were in this situation, what you have said? The laborers in Matthew 20:12 said, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden and the scorching heat of the day. Is what they said correct? Correct? It is. It is correct. Isn't it? These last men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden and the scorching heat of the day. But if you say, these last men have worked only 1 hour, but you gave them the full day's wage, and you are such a good man, you have to have this kind of confession. And you have made them equal to us. It means they have discomfort towards the landowner. It means they are blaming, accusing the landowner for his goodness. If you understand the goodness only as knowledge, you might think they are right. If you think they are right, maybe in theory, in knowledge, it is right, but it means you don't understand the good heart. The good person, he gave them the wages according to his promise. There is nothing wrong with him, nothing wrong about him. Because he was good, he gave them more wages than he was expected to. You'd want to discern between the right and wrong, saying, it is not right for the landowner to do that. Those who worked more must receive more wages. It's a loss for those who worked more. But it's not a loss anyway, because they received their promised wage. And also because others came and worked just a little bit. They worked a little, they didn't have to work so much. Their work was also reduced because of those people. But if you have cultivated God's goodness in the heart, you'd have said the following, sir, thank you for giving me work today and the promised wage, especially those people who came later wouldn't have earned their living for the day without you. And yet you gave them a full day's wage, even though they worked little. You are really good and generous. Actually, it is a loss for the landowner. He helped those people. I'm really impressed and I'm thankful for that. May God bless you, considering your goodness. You'd have go back home. You'd go back home with a wonderful feeling, giving thanks to the landowner. Have you checked your heart? Did you have this kind of heart? If you had, please raise your hands. Honestly, women's mission members. Why so few? This is just taking an office. It's not raising hands. What did you take an oath about? Why can't you be so confident? Actually, I don't understand this kind of situation. And if I have that kind of evil heart, even just 1% in my heart, I wouldn't be able to bear with it. I would repent right away and even fast to take it away. I wouldn't be able to bear with it. Why is it that your shepherd performs the great part of God? So according to some statistics, there are about 12 million pastors. Why is it that your shepherd is number one in the financial blessings and the power of God among all the 12 million pastors? It's not coincidence. God is looking for those who have goodness. God refines their heart, and God gives them power, and God gives them blessings. And if you think you are living by the word of God, but check this kind of thing. This is something so obvious, you can't even raise your hands. You must be able to raise your hands so confidently. Most of you should. But this is not something so good. It is something natural, so obvious. You should have this kind of heart. If you understand God's heart and if you have cultivated God's goodness in you, you could make such professions. I urge you to keep in mind today's message again and again and cultivate it fully in your heart. I wish you could give rather than receive and seek the benefit of others, thinking from their standpoints. Serve within the order and humble yourself. If you go into a garden full of flowers at full bloom, you'll be intoxicated with the fragrance. I hope you will fill this church with the aroma of goodness and aroma of the Father that is much stronger than that of the flowers. And for the Canaan era, I have to wait for the Father's time. At one corner of my mind, I want to receive the money as quickly as possible so we can go into Canaan sanctuary quickly. So they will have the faith of the church members will increase. And in the church, in every meeting, there'll be so much aroma of Christ, the aroma of goodness, their words and their deeds, and everything will be the aroma of goodness, and the whole church will be filled with the aroma, fragrance of goodness. Just like it is the garden full of flowers. And I'm looking forward to that kind of time so much. So we can offer to God the aroma of goodness in the worship service, in the prayers, in the praising, in everything. The Father will be so pleased, and He'll be moved in His heart, and He'll shed His tears, and He'll accept our worship service. And I wish such a time will come as soon as possible. And that is why I want to have Canaan Sanctuary as quickly as possible. Then this place will be heaven itself. Wherever you are, that place will be heaven. People around you will also give glory to God because of you. Just think of how delighted God would be. I pray in the name of the Lord that, starting from today, your aroma of goodness will fill the whole world and also the city of New Jerusalem later. Let us pray. Let us pray thinking about the message. Heavenly Father, thank you. Father, thank you. Let this message become life and faith. And let the women's mission have spiritual faith and let them go into spirit and Holy Spirit. Father, thank you. And bless them. Father, bless them. Lord, thank you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
께서 환자를 위한 기도를 해 주시겠습니다.
아버지 아픈 곳
Heavenly Father, lay your hands on sick parts, show your work transcending space and time. Pastor Sungil Yu of Japan will have a MIS special seminar with the speaker Pastor Gu Yong-chung from April 20th on 20th and 21st. And also let everything go well and on the April 24th, there will be a special event for the children who lost their parents because of the earthquake. And let it go well. And Pastor Joshua Lee, Jacob Lee of DR Congo, will have a handkerchief crusade in Galuka local sanctuary on April 14th and 20th, and Pastor's conference in Kinkabua, and their one-day revival meeting on the Church of Rock of Life on the 21st, filled with the Holy Spirit. Pastor Paul Lee of Germany will speak in the seminar on the measure of faith in the church of Pastor Banji. And Casey Angami of India has cerebral hemorrhage. Let him gain his consciousness quickly. Melania Lewis of Philippines lung troubles and infections in the urinary cord and the heart trouble be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Ho Hyung Yu, dislocation of the intestines. Father, thank you. Give them, lay your hands on all entrails and cells and nerves and tissues. Burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Clean all the skin diseases. Fix all the broken bones. Connect them and cleanse them. All pains go away. High blood pressure, low blood pressure, diabetes go away. Give them peace throughout this week. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.